Good evening. Calling to order the Board of Supervisors business meeting. Today is Thursday, November 13th, 2025. The time is now 7:16. Please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll begin roll call, beginning with my right.
Greg Phillips.
Tina Garzillo.
Carol Kenny.
Greg Wax.
Tony Hannity, Township Manager.
John Walker from the Solicitor's Office.
Amanda Lafty, Assistant Township Manager.
And I wanted to report that Vice Chair Bill Genoway is away this evening, so unable to attend. He is actually in Florida with our Chief of Police and Public Safety Director Lease, accepting an award for the Township for the International Association of Fire Chiefs Recruitment and Retention Award. I believe that we had won that award last year as well. I don't know if Mr. Hammaday, if did we win that award, I believe, last year as well?
Yes.
It's our second year to win that. So he is away receiving that award for the Township. The next item on the agenda is approval of the meeting minutes, October 9th, 2025 for the Zoning Workshop, October 9th, 2025 for the BOS Workshop, October 16th for 2025 for the Business Meeting. Was everyone present for those meetings? All in favor of adopting the meeting minutes that I described? Oh, take a motion. Motion first.
I'll second.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor of adopting the meeting minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Passes 4-0. Okay, next item on our agenda is chairperson's comments, and I actually have a few comments for this evening. The first one I would like to do is, and if the camera can come in on this, this is a new gateway sign that maybe some of you have already seen up in the township. This will be placed on our gateways, on major road arteries, as well as on our trail system. So it's a nice replacement for what was currently existing on our roads and our trails. So look forward to seeing this. Most of them are up already, a few more to be placed around the township. So I thought they did a great job of designing this and look forward to seeing this myself. I haven't seen any out in the road yet. That this was the first that I actually saw this. So there it is for you. Next comment that I wanted to make is our state budget has been signed into law by Governor Shapiro. So we are very excited that we got that news today that that we now have a state budget. This morning, I was able to attend a conference. It was held by the Health Spark Foundation. So they hosted this forum at Villanova. Also in attendance from the township was our Public Works Director, Jeff Hickman, and our planner, Jarrett Lash. It was a wonderful, wonderful educational forum that they presented for us. So we had an opportunity to attend some breakout sessions. There were four different sessions that we could go sit in on and address topics such as policies and practices for shaping housing needs, workforce housing and housing affordability, currently just legislation in Pennsylvania and things related to the state budget with shaping housing. And the fourth one was economic advantages of ending homelessness. The panel discussions were so thoughtful, and I have some things that I'm looking forward to helping to launch in our township to do with attainable housing for residents, that we have people that work in our township, people that provide services for our township, that our housing has become unaffordable for those individuals. So it's something that we really need to pay attention to, and hopefully there's ways that we can help solve those issues. We talk about our mall and how it is such a tax benefit to our community, but if we can't have those individuals able to live close, to be able to come to the mall to work, to have transportation that's appropriate for them, to be able to get to work on time, it's an issue. And we appreciate all that the mall does for us economically, but we have to support the workforce as well. And so there are a lot of different interesting topics that came up today in discussion, and I'm looking forward to presenting some of that to the township. Our keynote speaker today, his name is Charles Marone. I don't know if anyone is familiar with him in the public, but he is the president and founder of an organization called Strong Towns. He has a wonderful blog that if you're interested in finding out more information about what he's involved with, that's an excellent way to get some information. He's an author, he's a land use planner, municipal engineer, and a charming speaker that he engaged the audience very well today, and we learned a lot from him. So if you're interested in finding out more about his thoughts about building stronger communities, again, his name is Charles Marohn, M-A-R-O-H-N, and he's the president and founder of Strong Towns. I think that's everything I wanted to mention about that. Last evening, we went to an annual convention for our county organization, MCATO. We had a representative from PSATS who spoke about legislation that affects our municipalities. And we also had, there was a panel discussion talking about stormwater issues and updates and mandates with the MS4 permits. So that was an engaging evening last night. Excellent host, and our township manager serves on the executive board and always does a great job with helping organize that event. So this is our fall convention that was last night, and then there'll be a spring convention that'll be coming up in the future. Prior to this meeting, we had convened into an executive session to discuss personnel and legal matters. So that happened before we came out to this session. And that's the end of my chairperson comments. The next thing I'd like to read is the current citizen board vacancies. Our list is getting smaller and smaller, which is wonderful. And let me read off the current vacancies. For ECDC, we have one vacancy. For the farmers market, we have one vacancy for a young adult. For the media communications board, one vacancy. For the public safety board, for a young adult, one vacancy. For the Historical Commission, one vacancy, and for the Historical Commission also, a young adult vacancy. And then for the Zoning Hearing Board, we have one vacancy for an alternate member. So as you can tell, me reading these, the time is going quicker, that we have fewer and fewer vacancies right now. Township Department Updates is the next item on the agenda. And this year, I would like to spotlight the Planning Division, which is part of our Public Works Department. Jarrett Lash is our planner, and this is what he put together for me. Community planning plays a vital role in shaping the growth and development of the township by ensuring land use, infrastructure, and community needs are balanced in a sustainable and organized way. The Planning Division of the Public Works Department develops and implements comprehensive plans, zoning ordinances, and development policies that guide where and how residential, commercial, industrial, and recreational areas are built. Municipal planners review development proposals to ensure they align with the township's long-term vision, environmental standards, and infrastructure capacity. They also collaborate with elected officials, developers, and the public to create communities that are safe, efficient, and livable while promoting responsible growth that meets current needs and plans for future generations. Currently, the Planning Division is leading the township's update of our comprehensive plan. This process occurs typically every 20 years in order for the community to set its priorities on how it wants to grow, preserve, and enhance key land use elements for the next two decades. We welcome the public to keep an eye on our township calendar for upcoming comprehensive plan meetings. And Jarrett isn't with us this evening, but thank you, Jarrett, for putting that together for us. Now we go into new business on the agenda. The first item for new business is a proclamation for Small Business Saturday. I serve as the liaison for ECDC, and ECDC usually the chair comes and reads this proclamation, but he is out of town on business, so I'll read it in his stead. Whereas the government of Upper Marion Township celebrates our local small businesses and contributions they make to our local economy and community, and whereas, according to the United States Small Business Administration, there are 36 million small businesses in the United States, small businesses represent 99.9% of firms with paid employees. Small businesses are responsible for 62% of new jobs created since 1995, and small businesses employ 59 million employees in the private sector in the United States. And whereas 84% of consumers understand the importance of supporting the small businesses in their community on Small Business Saturday, 70% report the day makes them want to encourage others to shop small, independently owned retailers, and 66% report that the day makes them want to shop small all year long. And whereas 58% of shoppers reported they shopped online with a small business, and 54% reported they dined or ordered takeout from a small restaurant, bar, cafe on Small Business Saturday in 2025. And whereas the Upper Marion Township Board of Supervisors supports our local businesses that create jobs, boost our local economy, and preserve our communities, and whereas advocacy groups, as well as public and private organizations across the country, have endorsed the Saturday after Thanksgiving as Small Business Saturday. Now, therefore, I, Tina Garzillo, Chair of the Upper Marion Township Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim November 29th, 2025 as Small Business Saturday, and urge the residents of our community and communities across the country to support small businesses and merchants on Small Business Saturday and throughout the year. For the next item on the agenda, this is the opportunity for anyone in the public to be able to come forward at the podium and to address any issues that are on our business agenda. Is there anyone that would like to come forward? Okay, so hearing and would this be about an item on the agenda? Or is this, there's an opportunity at the end of the business agenda to have a public comment about other issues? Okay. Okay, then we'll move along. The next item on the agenda, item 8C, proposed bond ordinance, consideration of a proposed ordinance authorizing the issuance of one or more series of bonds in the amount of up to $12 million for, among other things, open space, capital project, and capital equipment, providing for the date, maximum interest, maximum maturity dates, and place of payment in respect to the bonds, setting forth the parameters for acceptance of a proposal and authorizing acceptance of a proposal for the purchase of the bonds, authorizing the proper officers to execute and deliver the bonds, authorizing and directing the preparation, certification, and filing of the proceedings with the Department of Community and Economic Development, and setting forth a form of bond. May I have a motion for consideration for this proposed bond ordinance?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
For this bond.
I'll second.
Is there any comment or discussion about?
Madam Chair, at this time, we do have bond counsel here. This is an ordinance, so I believe it'd be proper for purpose of creating the record if he wouldn't mind coming up and explaining to the board all of the formalities and things that need to be done in order to make sure that the bond is in place. And if you wouldn't mind, there's the microphone for the video.
Absolutely. My name is Pat Scott from the Overbuyer Revenue Maximum Pitbull. We serve as bond counsel for the township. Given that the ordinance was all but approved, I will be very brief. But the bottom line here is, as you said, Chairman Garzillo, the purpose of the bond is to authorize up to a maximum of $12 million for purchase of real estate and building improvements and the like. We advertised the adoption, the potential adoption of the ordinance. We submitted it to the Times Herald on November 4th. It was published in the newspaper. The ordinance, among other things, does authorize the board to submit proceedings to the Department of Community and Economic Development once the ordinance is approved. As you probably know, there are some limitations on the amount of money that can be borrowed by the township. We're well within those limitations, but we have to establish all that. So we would expect to submit the application, and approval comes within a couple days of that.
Hold on a minute. What are you doing?
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
There we go.
Are you okay? So that's really it. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you could just elaborate a little bit more, actually, Mr. Hamaday, elaborate, what is the intention of taking out this bond? What is the money for?
Sure. Again, the ordinance before the board is to borrow up to $12 million. We are proposing to stay well under that, at $10 million or less, to be bank qualified for the loan. The bond will be used to purchase open space, which is the remaining piece of the Rossi's Auto Salvage Yard tract, and needed for the extension of Prince Frederick Boulevard, and then the balance of the money will be used for the actual construction of the boulevard and any other improvements necessary for that. So the bond is for a specific purpose. We're hoping that once approved, the bonds will be sold beginning next week. Bond revenue would be available to us somewhere at the end of December. We're hoping that immediately in the new year, we can get final design, either the township or the transportation authority final design, and go out to bid for construction sometime late 2026 or early 27. Yeah.
Mr. Hammond, I would ask that you transmit that fact to the transportation authority. We did talk about that at last night's meeting. But their idea is that this is going to be a much longer time frame.
Okay.
And, the minutes will attest that I said, giddy up. We want to get this thing done.
Yeah.
Because their engineer is only looking at maybe a 30% design by the end of next year.
Oh, all right.
And that's not, I think, the intent. If we're going to get this money, we're going to build this thing. We want to get it done as quickly as possible, especially with the fact that 202 southbound is going to be much affecting this entire thing. The sooner we can get this done, hopefully there'll be some alleviation on that.
Absolutely.
That project.
And that is something that, you know, I'm glad that the Transportation Authority discussed that, because there will be some point or some type of memorandum of understanding since the township is borrowing the money. If the board desires, the Transportation Authority would undertake the project, so that would be an agreement of how that the money is transferred or bills are paid for that. But I will make sure that that gets very quickly done and get a proposal in. But yeah, we just want to make sure that we're online to have the board approve the ordinance. Market is favorable, so I think we'll benefit by moving forward now.
As the board may remember, at the workshop meeting last week, the board was briefed heavily by Stiefel related to the financial underpinnings of this bond. So it wasn't something, obviously, for those that are just learning about this now, that you're just coming before you. But the last week's meeting was a significant diving into the financial background of this.
And if residents were interested, they could look at the minutes from that meeting and then get a better understanding, or reach out to us.
And the ordinance, and parameters ordinance, or the bond ordinance, is on the web, so they can look at the full extent of that.
Mm-hmm. And Supervisor Kenny?
Yeah, I would just like to add on giddy up from, from giddy Supervisor up. Phillips. I, in response to what you had mentioned, Mr. Hamaday, that in view of this 202 South construction, I don't believe that this is going to help it at all. It's not going to be done in time to alleviate the problems of 202 South. That's a whole other can of worms. So, but it is something that is absolutely going to help us in the future.
Yes. I don't know, Carol, given what we've seen from our friends at District 6. Just saying.
Well, we have to do, I agree with you, we have to just move forward as quickly as we can with the project that we have that may be under our control and not under the control of the state. So, yeah, let's push forward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to add on that besides the extension of the Prince Frederick Boulevard, this parcel is actually much larger than just that. The whole combined parcel is actually bigger than Norview Farm. While there has been no decision by the Board of Supervisors what to do with the entire parcel, besides the extension of the Prince Frederick Boulevard, I'm sure that the board is open to ideas. I know I publicly said that, at least in my opinion, I'd like at least some of it preserved as open space, but we will see, you know, what the board decides to do. I do think it is extremely important to use this as an example that if you do want to acquire land, you have to pay fair market value for it. You cannot just take it or use the zoning code to deny developers their legitimate rights. I'm glad we are taking out this bond for this purpose, we will see what happens in the future. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other comments? Permission to take a vote? OK, Okay. All in favor of this proposed bond ordinance moving forward, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Passes 4-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next item on the agenda is item 8D, Mount Pleasant Avenue Subdivision Plan, consideration of a preliminary final subdivision plan of RBK Development LLC for the subdivision of the existing .045-acre parcel into two new residential building lots and the construction of a single-family dwelling on each lot, including associated site improvements and waivers and conditions as outlined in said resolution, Zoning District R3 and R1A, resolution number 2025-33. So we've seen this subdivision plan a few times, two workshops, and this is the first time in a business meeting, I believe.
That's correct. This is the first time this plan is before you for a vote tonight. It has been listed on the prior two workshops where the waivers were discussed, some of the standard plan waivers that are common, and then the others being related to the fact that they're retaining the storm water on site. So the waivers related to the release of the storm water, they're asking for those as somewhat inapplicable. It is a two-lot subdivision. There are there is a house to be built on both lots. All the other provisions are essentially standard for a two-lot subdivision that also has houses proposed for building. So it's before you tonight, as the plan was discussed the last two workshops.
I know one provision that we had requested, so when they were at the first workshop with us, we'd asked them to have the neighbors notified of this. Even though it's two, it's not a large subdivision plan, we still wanted the neighbors to be aware of it because there is some stormwater concerns. And so that's why we brought them back for a second workshop, and then now we're here this evening to make a decision upon this.
And Mr. Walk, just for my edification, there will be recorded before the plans get recorded, I guess not, easements, cross easements to be able to maintain.
Correct. Contemporaneously with the plans, they would record the land development agreements as they are proposing improvements, but also two new deeds, one for the new lots, and with those deeds also the stormwater management agreement. And in that stormwater management agreement, which will be recorded against both of those lots, we will include specific provisions. And I believe there is language within the resolution that both properties will be held jointly and severally liable for any issues related to the repair and maintenance of any shared facilities, so we don't get into a dispute down the line of who has to pay for it. It would be the responsibility of both units that utilize that facility to pay for any maintenance repairs or for them to maintain it themselves is obviously the preferable method. So yes, that would also be recorded against the two lots. So landowners will know that's their responsibility and we can enforce it if they fail to maintain as required under our codes.
May I ask for a motion for consideration for the Mount Pleasant Avenue subdivision plan?
So moved.
Is there a second? A motion made by Supervisor Wax, second by Supervisor Phillips. Any other comments, questions? No. We're in position to vote on this. All in favor of the subdivision plan being approved, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0. Next on the agenda is our consent agenda. Item E1, Memorandum of Understanding, approval of the MOU with IAFF Local 5233 for the contract years 2025 through 2027. E2, accept an extension letter for BBDEV LLC for 657, 665, and 671 South Gulf Road Land Development Plan. E3, resignation of Priscilla Rosenwald from the Economic and Community Development Committee. E4, 2025, Roads Resurfacing Program, approval of payment application number 2, which is the final, in the amount of $34,489.25 to Alan Myers, LP of Worcester, Pennsylvania, for contract work performed to date as recommended by the consulting engineer. E5, approval of mural maintenance agreement with Netflix House at 180 North Gulf Road. And finally, E6, resolution number 2025-34, non-uniform pension plan restatement, Restatement of Township Resolution 9056, converting the then non-uniform employee pension plan into a defined contribution plan, and further ratifying the February 8, 2023 action of the Board of Supervisors, authorizing the change of the plan documents to reflect Empower Retirement LLC as the new plan custodian. May I have a motion to accept the consent agenda items?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Supervisor Phillips, seconded by Supervisor Kenny. Any discussion or comments about anything on consent? We're in a position to vote on this. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Passes 4-0. Next item on the agenda is accounts payable and payrolls.
Motion to pay the bills.
Second. All in favor of paying our bills, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Passes 4-0. Now is the time for additional business from anyone from the board. Supervisor Wax, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have three pieces of additional business. First and foremost, I would like to congratulate our friends at the King of Prussia District for receiving a $326,000 grant from the William Penn Foundation to support the construction of a trail going along North Gulf Road that would take it from the area essentially of First Avenue, ideally long-term, down to the King of Prussia Town Center. It's going to cost a lot more than that to make this project come to fruition, but obviously the continued potential expansion of our trail system is a very good thing for all those who wish to commute in Upper Merion Township via means other than a car. Secondly, I want to mention that on November 20th, the Board of Community Assistance will open for the 2026 year. I will mention much more about this in upcoming meetings, as I have for the past dozen or so years, but the deadline is in the end of March, and any organization which provides services to Upper Merion Township or high school juniors or seniors who are looking to receive scholarships for their education after they finish high school should consider applying. And lastly, I'd like to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving, and if you are going to enjoy yourselves, please do so safely and responsibly. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It has been an extremely busy week. We started off on Monday celebrating the 250th anniversary of our Marine Corps brethren, and from the Navy side, happy birthday, Marines. Second was Veterans Day, and want to show my appreciation and give my thanks to all who have served in uniform for this country and have given the ultimate sacrifice as well as their time, effort, and especially to those family members who supported them throughout the entire time they were in the service. And then lastly, I'll reiterate Supervisor Wax's happy Thanksgiving. Please don't drink and drive. This should be safe. This should be for family. And we want to see you here in December. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you. In addition to wishing everyone a happy Thanksgiving, I just want to remind people that the Community Cupboard is always looking for contributions, both in food and other items, and also financial contributions. The money goes much further when they can purchase things at a discount, and they know exactly what they need. So thank you to everyone who has stepped up, especially in the past month or more, to donate both goods and financial support to the Community Cupboard. So thank you to everyone for that, and I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.
And I will repeat that as well. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. We won't be meeting again in public before the holidays. And I wanted to just mention to the public and anyone that's watching, if you have friends or family that are flying in, or if you're flying out for the holidays, that there is a reduction in airlines because of lack of staffing that's available. So check your flights. Maybe you can readjust easily if your flight is postponed or delayed or canceled. But I just wanted to put out that warning to everyone to be careful. I have family coming in for Thanksgiving, and I hope they make it in. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday and is just about gathering with those that you love. And I'm looking forward to it myself to have a very happy Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone who's listening out there in the public. And then the next item on the agenda is public comment. Is anyone in the public would like to come forth and make public comment? And public comment is that just that. It's making comment. It's not a question and answer session. So please identify yourself and...
Hi, my name is Marian Infante. I'm here on behalf of Healthy Community Life Spaces. I'm a local nonprofit that is working to promote health in the community and inclusiveness. I want to address a very specific issue of the failure to install bike racks that the township had promised, and the broader pattern of prioritizing businesses and overlooking the needs of the residents, especially the students. It was even just mentioned how the trail will help people ride to the businesses. Over several years, the township has invested significant resources in bike infrastructure that primarily serves commercial areas. Yet residents, parents, and students have asked for something basic, like the bike racks promised, and it's been not only ignored, advised against. The fact is the township, I was told, the township recommended that the school district not install the bike, allow the bike steps to be installed, and not allow students to bike to school. Rather than encourage the district to follow its federally mandated wellness policy, where the district specifically said it would encourage children to bike and walk to school and work with the township to that end. This is not just a missed opportunity, it is also a clear equity issue. Our schools have parking lots full of cars that students can afford to drive. Meanwhile, students who rely on bicycles, which is a legal form of transportation, as an affordable means of healthy transportation, are denied the right to use the infrastructure that was made, the bike path. It is actually not allowed for students to ride on it. Okay, meanwhile, the township's refusal to support bike racks and reinforce this disparity sends the message that some forms of transportation and some students matter more than others.
Okay.
So, that's hold it. On. Okay. What I'd like to see happen is that what I can do, you cannot do. What you can do, I cannot do. The school district, we all need to work together. Upper Marion has built the trails, promised development, expanded bike amenities for visitors. It's time to focus on the people who actually live here. Our own kids should not be excluded from the benefits when the family's tax dollars have built it. And this is also a violation of Act 34, which says anything you build on school property must benefit the students. So having a bike trail there that children are prohibited to ride on is against Act 34. What we are simply asking is the township to honor its commitments, to act in the interest of the residents by installing the promised right bike racks and ending the practice of advising the school to restrict student biking, but rather set up a safe routes to school partnership that makes safe biking and accessible to every student. Set a meeting date. Encourage coordination between the township, the school district, and the Upper Marion Police to have safe biking access to the school. We at Healthy Community Life Spaces have taken multiple steps in good faith to help support this implementation. We work with the State Department of Education in changing the standards so that students will actually be educated in riding bikes. One of the accidents I was told that happened several years ago where a student was injured, it was told to me it was because he didn't know how to ride a bike. So instead of encouraging the school district to add into the curriculum to ride bikes like they do in different East Town and telling them how we have created this bike infrastructure, we have provided a draft of bike to school permission slips that include educational safety plans. We have also asked you guys to enact a helmet law. and also then to enact a law telling the people selling scooters, which are actually illegal in our state, you can actually enact a law to tell the retailers that if they sell a scooter, which is illegal, an e-scooter, which is a big problem, that they have to warn the parents that they're illegal in our state and that they have a 70% increase in child injury. So instead of having this nice committee where we're addressing these issues and encouraging the children to say, don't ride scooters, but you can ride a bike, and this is how you can ride it, because it's a legal form of transportation. We offered to fund and install safe signage at the on the bike trail so that students would know that they're required on school property to have a helmet. And which you did a wonderful job of putting a sign up out at the skate park, which encourages all residents to help you to make sure that the kids wear helmets when they're in the skate park. So such signage on the trails, enacting a helmet law, and working and encouraging that the federally mandated wellness policy that the school enacted allows children to bike to school. And that's, you know, this isn't adversarial. It's about fairness, safety, and the well-being of young people in our community. One of the things the school uses is MTSS and positive behavior support. Well, it would be positive behavior support to say, hey, you can't ride an e-scooter because they're illegal, but hey, you can ride a bike, but you have to follow the laws. And this would also help the police, because the police cannot chase after everybody on a scooter. And it's been a really big problem. A person was critically injured in front of my house on an e-scooter, and that was an adult. So can you imagine these children? And there was children in other districts that were killed on electric scooters, which are illegal in our state. We need to get the word out to the public, and we need to work together to have a safe routes to school program. I will hope that we will move forward from here and do that.
Okay, thank you for your comments, Dr. Fonte, that this is under the purview of the school district, not the Board of Supervisors, as far as allowing children to be able to bike to school. And I believe that Supervisor Wax wanted to make a comment.
So that is 100% correct, Madam Chair. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the school district decides whether or not students at the school district are able to ride their bicycles to school. That is their policy. This is, with all due respect, it's public comment, not public debate. So, you know, you had a few minutes. I'm just going to very briefly respond. There are one or two things that you said that are extremely inaccurate that I do want to touch on. The first thing you said that the trails are used in Upper Marion Township primarily by businesses and not by residents. I don't know how to tell you this, but that is one of the most inaccurate statements I've ever heard anybody make from that dais. I am on the trails a lot. I legitimately bike 100 miles a week during the summer. That is not an exaggeration. I also walk the trails all the time. On the Schuylkill River West Trail, those are almost always residents on there. And by the way, the overwhelming majority of people who are on the Schuylkill River West Trail on a bicycle are thankfully wearing helmets. The Crow Creek Trail, another trail that's been recently built by this township, that is probably 95% residents of Upper Marion Township. The third trail, the Chester Valley Trail, that probably attracts more people who are going from Norristown to, say, Tredyffrin, but it is overwhelming residents. All that being said, I invite people who are working in the township but don't live in the township or commuting anywhere to use the trails rather than drive. But to say that those are amenities that are meant for businesses or commercial interests, it's with all due respect, I'm probably on there a lot more than you are. It's just inaccurate. Also, I do want to point out something important. There are some bike racks in this township. Was anything promised? No. Would I like to see more? Yes. I would like to see a bike rack at Horzer Park or maybe a bike rack at Norview Farm, but there are some bike racks in this township. Bye. Please, with all due respect, there are some bike racks in this township on public property, including here at the Upper Marion Township Building, and I do bike to the Upper Marion Township Building from time to time. There are also bike racks at the Upper Marion Community Center and Pool, and yes, I've biked there as well. You know, I think that one thing, speaking as somebody who is a and extremely frequent biker is that I also recognize the dangers of biking. We don't make policy for the Upper Marion Area School District, but fears that they might have of a kid getting injured, that's not just because a kid doesn't know how to bike properly. People fall and get hurt on bicycles. As my fellow supervisors can tell you, and as our township manager, assistant manager, and solicitor can tell you, I was wearing a bandage over my left knee for 4 months. The reason I was wearing a bandage over my left knee for 4 months was because I had a serious bike accident on the Schuylkill River Trail. I'm an extremely experienced biker. Things do happen. It's not just because a kid doesn't know how to ride a bike or an adult doesn't know how to ride a bike. Accidents happen. And at least two of our schools are right off major roads. I completely understand the fear that the Upper Marion Area School District might have of having a kid riding a bicycle on Croton Road. How about on Henderson Road or South Gulf Road when going to Gulf Elementary? I would like our kids in this township, in this school district, to be able to ride bicycles to the schools. But you've got to get permission from the Upper Marion Area School District first. If or when the Upper Marion Area School District provides permission for kids to ride bicycles to school, I would be thrilled to be able to try to find a way to make that happen. But that comes first, and it is their policy decision. I do thank you for coming, and I do appreciate your time.
I'm sorry that you misunderstood. I meant that the recent things for I know you've also made the trails for the residents, but that the students, there hasn't been focus on the students as much as the commercial is what I meant to say. So I'm sorry you misunderstood that. And that's what I was saying, that how nice it was that you did all the biking things. However, the fears that biking is dangerous, so is driving cars. And, you know, there is other issues also that I have been asked to have addressed. So, yes, biking is dangerous. Walking is dangerous. Driving a car is dangerous. That's why we need to have the committee together to address the issue. As their policy, they have two policies. They are conflicting policies, and that is what I'm trying to bring out to you. So instead of emphasizing their one policy, you could emphasize their other policy and say, hey, let's work together. This policy says this. We should be doing this together. And many residents have told me that you did promise to put bike racks across the street from the school. Why? And you put up a big sign across where the street, the school is, that has bikes on it. So the children, like I said, under Act 34, are entitled to use that bike path. So I'm asking you to support us. The community, there was a petition that went around. The community said, we want our kids to ride the bike to school. There's a father that rides his bike to work, and he can't have his kids ride his bike to school. We're asking you to support us. We know they have to make the decision there, but you need to support that decision to say, yes, kids should be riding their bikes. It's dangerous, but so is driving cars.
Well, once again, this isn't public debate, but I would say that 11-year-olds are not driving cars to school. Well, they might be on Croton Road where they could be riding a bicycle.
High school students aren't allowed to ride their bike to school. 18-year-olds aren't allowed to ride their bike to school.
If I would encourage you to try to get the district to change its policy, but it is its policy. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, please do not.
Thank you for your comments, Dr. Fonte. Appreciate it. Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public who would like to make public comment? We want to allow other people to have an opportunity as well. Please identify yourself, and are you an Upper Marion Township resident?
Yes, okay. I am. My name is Teresa Menke, and I live in Stonebrook. So I was listening to 8C, and you were talking about Prince Frederick Boulevard, and this is the first time. I want to make sure I didn't misunderstand what you said. Did you say that when 202 closes to do the rest of the construction, you would hope that Prince Frederick Boulevard would be open to offload that traffic through our neighborhood?
I actually did make that, but it's not through your neighborhood. The Prince Frederick Boulevard extension from the day that Stonebrook was developed, to putting on the plan, that extension has always been on the drawing board so that traffic would be able to go around the 202 Henderson Road intersection. It became really clear when Target opened up that that was necessary. And so when the developer Toll and Glasgow actually did this, that's what that in boulevard was intended for.
Okay. We do have a meeting next week with the township over the internal roads, because we were just told in October the township or Upper Marion is not going to support those roads. And I'm thinking, if you're running all that traffic through our neighborhood, they're going to be going through streets that have no exit.
No, the traffic is, so the Prince Frederick Boulevard, Sullivan Boulevard does a dog leg left, right? So when you come across 202, it goes up, you have the trailhead there, and then you get into your development on that boulevard. That's Prince Frederick Street.
So does it go up and it connects to Henderson? Is that how it works?
The intent is to have that connect all the way through to Henderson Road.
So it's your thought that when they come from Henderson to go down Prince Frederick, that they won't be running through Stonebrook?
There's no reason for them to go through Stonebrook. This is going to be
looking for another way out.
But there's no other way out.
I know. That's what I'm afraid of.
We get that. But that boulevard is larger than all of the rest of your roads.
Yes.
Right. And so the developer at very early on made a decision that those roads would not meet our standard for taking them. So.
And we probably will discuss that next week.
Sure.
Because I know Amanda's involved in that meeting too. Okay. All right. I just wanted to make, I didn't realize that traffic would be coming through because of the closure.
Well, it's not because of the closure.
The intent was
always that there would be a ring road, so you could to go all the way around. The intent is not to divert stuff onto your road. There's nowhere to go, and I think Supervisor Kennedy was absolutely correct. When they start the southbound, we're not going to be anywhere close to beginning the okay. completion of that road. So it's not like, yeah, sure. Amanda Lafty.
Hi, Amanda Lafty, Assistant Township Manager. We spoke via email. Yes. I will make sure that we have a copy of the plan so you can physically see how the boulevard will be separate from the township when
next
you come
week.
In next week, yes.
Wonderful, that's wonderful. Okay, that was my concern. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience that would like to make public comment? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we're at a point for, oh, I'm sorry, Supervisor
No,
Waxman.
Motion to adjourn.
A motion, second. Okay, second, all right. All in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.